Grimes Politics on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. Welcome to the December edition of CAMS Politics. The leader of South CAMS District Council, Bridget Smith, is here to tell us why she's defying the government and pressing ahead with the four-day week for council employees. We'll ask Mairead Healy why she quit the Labour group at the City Council over Palestine. We'll meet Imi Blackburn-Horgan, newly elected to that same council as a Liberal Democrat. Journalist John Elworthy will tell us more about the shenanigans in the north of Cambridgeshire and the mayor's continuing travails. And of course, our commentator and analyst Phil Rogers is here to help us make sense of it all. How are you doing, Phil?
I'm pretty good, thanks, Trevor.
You were at the City Council last night. Was there anything of importance discussed?
Well, there were quite a lot of financial discussions about budgets going forward. I did also get a public question in, which is the first one I've done for quite some time. And I was asking about what the plans are for reorganising Cambridge's local government to sort of make it all a bit simpler. And we may have some developments coming up in the next few weeks on that.
And of course, since we last spoke, we've had the Queen Edith by-election. It's goodbye, Sam Davis, and hello, Imi Blackburn-Horgan. And we'll have Imi on the show in a little while. What were the overall trends in voting?
Well, that was always very much expected to be a Lib Dem gain, because without an independent candidate, it's very much a sort of Lib Dem ward. But Labour actually ran them pretty close. There was only about 3% in it this time. So it could be a little bit closer in the May elections.
The autumn statement occurred, didn't it? Did Cambridge get a bit of a mention?
Yes. We've got various bits of budget going towards deciding whether there should be a Cambridge Development Corporation, which might have quite a lot of impact on planning in the local area, and also some money going towards trying to sort out our water supply problems. But again, this is very much a sort of what are we going to do about it rather than here's a huge solution. So we'll have to await developments on both of those.
Well, thanks for the time being, Phil. Here's a little Taylor Swift from the earlier part of her career, after which we'll hear from Bridget Smith at South CAMS.
I was riding shotgun with my hair undone in the front seat of his car. I grabbed a pen and an old napkin and I wrote down our song.
Taylor Swift from her very first country album, Ye and Indeed Ha. Well, now to South CAMS, where the District Council has introduced a four-day week to help with recruitment and retention of their staff. But the Conservative National Government have written to them demanding an end to the scheme and threatening sanctions if they don't comply. Let's talk to Bridget Smith, who's the leader of South CAMS District Council.
CAMS Politics on Cambridge 105 Radio.
So, Bridget Smith, what I want to know is when you get a note from the government, you know, from somebody called the Deputy Director of Local Government Stewardship, whatever that means, what is it? Is it just a kind of Hi Bridget email, or is it a handwritten note on government vellum? What does it look like when it arrives?
Everything obviously comes by email these days. So I'm just trying to, we've had quite a lot of communication. So I'm just trying to, you know, recount the one that you're probably referring to, which was the communication that said that we were going to be issued with a best value notice. So I seem to recall that we had that email from the gentleman that you talked about. And then we had another letter from Lee Rowley, MP, who was the Minister for Local Government at the time. I think he's now moved on to be the latest in a long line of housing ministers. I think he has done it before, actually. So we got the two together. So, you know, the one from the civil servant was a, you know, pretty formal affair. You know, you take these things seriously. You don't take them lightly.
Do you immediately, when something like that happens, do you convene a meeting of some kind of steering group or cabinet and say, how are we going to respond to this? Or is it really left up to you?
No, absolutely not. We've got a really team approach at South Cambridge. So I've got a really very, very able cabinet of people who've been, you know, we've been on the journey together since we took over control of the council in 2018. So yeah, they were all summoned in. I think it was a Thursday and they all came. hot foot from wherever they were. So that was a mixture of the politicians, the local elected members meeting, but meeting with our senior leadership team as well, because, you know, you don't just decide what to do as politicians. This is very much working in partnership with our officers and taking, you know, copious amounts of legal advice, of course. So, you know, we had some very, very serious meetings to decide, you know, what was how was best to respond to those communications, and, you know, what our plans were for the 4-day week trial that we've been
through. I imagine there's a part of you that wants to say, go away. It's none of your business. This is our council and we're elected and we can do what we think is appropriate.
Well, you're quite right. And, you know, the Local Government Association and the District Council Network have both written to Mr. Rowley, not to support our 4-day week trial, but to support the sovereignty and the autonomy of local government, and to say that, you know, this is overreach by a government minister. And actually, we are elected in our own right. If our residents don't like what we're doing, then they'll tell us at the ballot box. But, you know, this sort of interference from government is extremely unusual of a council that's in sound financial position and, you know, demonstrates a very healthy culture and really, really good governance. So, you know, so government interfere when you get situations like they have just announced in Birmingham. We just heard about Nottingham this week, who can't balance their books, Woking, Thurrock. So government intervened there, but that's because stuff's gone majorly wrong. Nothing's gone wrong at South Cambridgeshire. We're just running a trial to try and help us sort out the difficulties we have in recruiting the staff we need, because South Cambridge is such a flipping expensive place to live.
Do you think that this is actually politics rather than an issue of government?
This is absolutely politics. It's got, you know, it's absolutely about politics. And, you know, if Conservatives are, you know, they're not called Conservative for no reason. They don't like things changing. And, you know, we've just seen in the last couple of weeks, civil servants being called back to their desks in Whitehall. And we've also heard that, you know, a significant percentage of them are now thinking of leaving those jobs, because actually we're now in the 21st century and we have Zoom, we have Teams, we have email, we have AI. We have all this kit now that means that we're going to be working differently to how people like me worked when we started off on our careers back last century. And there's an irony that we're called upon in local government to innovate in order to deal with the problems and the constant reduction in our core funding from government. And yet when we do exactly that, you know, we fall foul of a government who doesn't like our sort of innovation.
It's interesting to me, and I live in South Cambs, full disclosure, I never hear anyone locally talking about this. It's just not a hot button issue, is it?
Now, most people don't know anything about it. You know, people know if their bins aren't collected. They know if, you know, there's a problem getting their planning application sorted out. They certainly know about us, you know, if they're receiving help on the cost of living crisis. But actually, most people aren't interested. It's a shame that politics has got in the way of progress.
OK, let's talk about Michael Gove then and the whole planning issue, the growth of Cambridge. It's going to affect South Cambs if it goes through, isn't it? So how are you pushing back at some of those proposals? Are you having to basically deal with the fact that that's going to happen if they stay in power?
So both the Conservatives and Labour know that the part of the country that is delivering economic gain, is, you know, contributing to the public purse, is the east of England, and very specifically the area around Cambridge. So, you know, we've seen massive increases in capital that's generated from all our very, very whizzy, knowledge-intensive businesses here. So I think even a change of government is still going to be, looking at Greater Cambridge, which is Cambridge City and South Cambridgeshire. So, you know, we had Michael Gove's vision, which involved hundreds of thousands of houses. Now, you know, 200,000 houses means 2 Milton Keyneses. And it's taken 60 years to build Milton Keynes. So this isn't going to be something that happens probably in my lifetime, even actually. Until we have clarity about what it means, and we don't, you know, they're talking about houses, they're talking about jobs. There was some talk about a new concert hall early on. But, you know, we're not hearing about where those houses, where those jobs are going to go, in their view. You know, we have a really excellent emerging local plan that's joint with city, which has identified space for sustainable development, you know, in the best places to build, the most sensible places to build, where people aren't going to be reliant on cars and where the fact we don't have public transport isn't going to do further damage to our environment. So we're kind of round the table with Mr. Gove at the moment, trying to find out what it really means. And, you know, no doubt we'll get to the point where we have to go, whoa, you know, this is, we have red lines and this is going across our red lines. But at the moment, you know, we're trying to get to the bottom of what that vision is. And then if it's a change of government, we'll have to do it all over again with the next government, because I can't see them taking their eyes off this region.
What's your sense of the impending results of this new travel plan that's been signed through?
So it's a great relief we have a local transport and connectivity plan. We should have had one an awful long time ago. But again, politics got in the way of that as well. So hopefully it's going to mean that we won't see any further significant reduction in our buses. Hopefully we'll see some improvement in our buses and we can start moving towards a proper business plan for bus franchising, which means that the combined authorities start to control the buses rather than the bus companies. But, you know, we have a real crisis in public transport in our region where, you know, if you live in the urban centres, OK, you can get around by public transport. If you live where I do in Gamlingay, you absolutely can't. You might go on a bus journey for fun, but it's not going to get you where you need to go, you know, when you need to get there.
Bridget, why aren't the Lib Dems nationally doing better in the polls?
Oh, golly. Why are we not doing better in the polls? I think if you look at certain regions, actually, I think we're doing really well. When I became council leader back in 2018, I think there was 14 councils led by Lib Dems. There's now over 60. That's significant growth. And I think people, they know that, you know, we are really effective at local government area because we really put people at the heart of everything we do. And I think what we're seeing is when residents experience their local government being Liberal Democrat controlled and Liberal Democrat values, you know, beginning to influence their lives positively, they start to think about, well, you know, actually, if we had a politician who was a Liberal Democrat as well, you know, we could have even more. So, you know, in South Cambridgeshire, I think the Lib Dems are reviewed very positively as far as general elections concerned. And I'm seeing that, yes, it's in patches, but they're quite big patches and there's quite a lot more of them. You know, the West Country, you know, we're getting back in there, down on the South Coast, certainly. The Cotswolds, you know, that kind of sort of Warwickshire, Gloucestershire area, you know, we're suddenly becoming very significant there. So we're not going to take over the whole of the UK, but I think we're going to have serious impact in those places where, you know, we are already grounded through the work we do in local government, which is recognised as being jolly good.
We'll probably have a general election next year. Do you think your candidate Pippa Hailings is going to win South Cams?
Well, if Pippa doesn't win South Cams, it won't be for any lack of trying on her or my part. She's an outstanding individual. She has an international reputation as a climate change negotiator. I mean, you know, she's exactly the right sort of person for South Cambridgeshire. You know, she reflects the people that live here. And goodness me, I've never seen anyone work as hard as her. I don't know. I mean, I work hard, but actually, I don't think she sleeps. So, you know, South Cambridgeshire deserves Pippa as their MP.
Bridget Smith, leader of South Cams District Council, thank you so much for coming on Cams Politics.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you. Look forward to seeing you again. Bye-bye.
Well, Phil Rogers, Bridget doesn't sound too dismayed about the government having a pop at her.
No, it's a pretty robust response, I think you'd have to admit. They did have their extraordinary council meeting a little while ago when they first got the best value letter. And certainly one option I think that was considered was just ignoring it completely because it doesn't have a statutory basis and it would have been possible for them to do that. But in the end, the policy they've gone with is to supply the data that the government is asking for. And this is a lot of quite detailed data around the performance of the council and what sort of impact the four-day week trial is having. So we'll have to see what the next step from the government is. They'll have all this information to evaluate, and perhaps they'll come back and say, well, you've got to stop doing this. But exactly how they will do that isn't very clear. And in the meantime, it looks like the South Cams Council are very determined to carry on with the trial, which runs until March next year.
Well, more from the Combined Authority and the Mayor with John Elworthy after this, which seems appropriate. Well, I'm Tom Petty on CAMS Politics for December 2023, where we're now going to turn to the extraordinary goings-on at the Combined Authority. Now, this is the organisation which unites Cambridgeshire and Peterborough under a mayor, Dr Nick Johnson. You may have heard him on this show last month. He's been the subject of prolonged and very disobliging abuse from his Conservative opponents, and he's now apologised for some of his behaviour in the early months after his surprise election. But the Tory leader of East Cam's District Council, Anna Bailey, has gone as far as to question his standards as a medical doctor. So who better to put all this into perspective for us than the respected journalist John Elworthy from CAMS News. John, it's great to have you on CAMS Politics again. Why does Anna Bailey hate Dr. Nick Johnson, the mayor?
Well, that's a jolly good question, Trevor. And that's a big, big word, hate. And I think it's probably the right description because it has been some venomous attacks from her. You could argue that the Conservatives were unhappy at losing the mayoralty election. You know, one has to start from that as a base, certainly, for all of this. And I think you also have to recognise that when Dr. Nick took over, there was no induction, there was no process for bringing him into an organisation as big and as complex and as messy and as well-heeled. It was, you know, it's been hugely well-financed by the government. And so he had no path to follow. And what happened, I think, in those early days was that Nick fumbled around, made it clear what his policies were. He employed some people within his office because that seemed to be the thing to do. He had a chief executive who, there was a dual chief executive role in those days, Kim Sawyer and John Hill. And John Hill, they shared the job. And John Hill, of course, had been the lead, is still the chief executive of East Cambridgeshire District Council. And Anna Bailey, of course, is now the leader of East Cambridgeshire District Council. And James Palmer had been leader of East Cambridgeshire District Council. And there was a lot of, you know, synergy between the two, which was disrupted by the arrival of Nick. But what I think Anna Bailey's problem is that she believes too much what has been leaked by various people during the early days of Nick, and they got leaked about the interpersonal relationships within the mayor's office. And in my opinion, they've been A, grossly exaggerated, B, have been leaked to show Nick at his worst. And, you know, you can use leaks, as you well know, to pinpoint, you know, people that you dislike or issues that you can seize upon and exaggerate. And, I think that is a lot of what has happened. And of course, you know, when Nick came in, he dropped, I mean, suddenly overnight, you know, he put a dampener on the CAMS Metro, or, you know, we'd spent millions on that project before he arrived. And suddenly all that team of consultants and all that work that had been done was suddenly ditched. There was work that was being done on £100,000 homes, which was a big flagship policy of the previous mayor, and one that, you know, Anna Bailey, you know, was very keen for because it was mostly happening in East Cambridgeshire, and the brakes were put on those things.
So you can see why the Conservatives were feeling hurt and were suffering kind of political withdrawal symptoms. But this has gone on much further than that. This isn't just a political rivalry now. This is Anna Bailey, as you say, leader of East CAMS, effectively saying that this rather genial man, we've had him on the show, you know him very well, you know, he's a very likeable guy and he's being accused of being a bully. And she's now saying that he's not even a decent doctor.
No, I mean, that's where the line was drawn the other day when he actually has turned the tables on her now and said, you know, up with this, I will no longer put. And although he made it clear that he wasn't at this stage considering legal action, he said formal action, and he really emphasised the word formal action. And, you know, look, we have political spats. We have people falling out. And over a period of time, you know, people just tend to, you know, jog along and get on with it. But, you know, there was an inbuilt opposition that began with the then chairman of the business board, Austin Adams, who didn't like the way Nick came to do things, and Austin has now gone as chairman of the business board. We had Wayne Fitzgerald, who was digging his heels in, believing things are happening to Peterborough in terms of congestion charge were never going to happen anyway, and so blocked the transport plan for Cambridgeshire on two occasions using his veto, because he could do that as a member of the business board. You had Ryan Fuller, who was then the leader of Huntingdon City District Council at the beginning of all of this, who was the recipient of some of the leaks that were allegedly pinpointing things that were wrong within the mayor's office. And he's gone, as you were. He's lost a seat on the district council, and he's still, clings on to a county council role, which he doesn't do much in anymore. And then, of course, you're left with really the rump of that opposition, which would be the Conservatives in Fenland and the Conservatives in East Camps, who are the two main, spokespeople for the Conservative group on the combined authority. And I think what that report that came out a few weeks ago has done is launched the boil. You know, we now know what Nick was accused of. We now know what he was found not guilty of. And we've discovered that what he was found guilty of, which was incivility and disrepute, he's put his hands up to, and the world has moved on. And so you have on the sidelines to all of this, with the mayor now embroiled in huge plans for the county. I mean, I set out a list of £80 million for the spending plans for the next 12 months or so that they've got underway. And all of those have been drawn up with the cooperation of all the constituent councils and chief executives and all the rest of it. So under the new chief executive of the combined authority, they've got their act together. We've got staff in place to do the job. And so, I don't understand why Anna hasn't just sort of quietly packed the bags, said, look, there will be a different time, a different day for a different war. But she's throwing out there spurious, unproven claims that I think are damaging more now to herself, probably, than they will be to Dr. Nick, who, when I speak to, as I do on occasions, is much more robust in his approach to the thing and the job. And as he says, he's learned his lesson. And he said that publicly, whatever lessons he needed to learn, he's been learned. And any future mayor will have a proper induction process and will be taught the ways of the world when they come into office. What did not happen in his case.
So, John, you were at the meeting this week, weren't you? And you described it in a text to me as media gold. What was the atmosphere like?
Well, I wasn't physically there. I was watching it on YouTube. And I have it on two different versions, so I could record it and I can transcribe it and I can follow it and I can look around the room at different people and their reactions. But you could just sense it. It was literally... the thing is, though, you need to go in and look at what wasn't being discussed as opposed to what was. At the moment, we've discussed the spending plans for the next 12 months, and we've discussed, the lengthy debate, beautifully chaired, but incidentally, by Anna, who is the deputy mayor and the leader of Cambridge City Council.
Anna Smith.
Did an absolutely superb job of chairing it in the absence. Obviously, Nick couldn't chair that part of the meeting. And, she understood what was involved. She gave every critic plenty of room and scope to explain their point of view. And in all honesty, it was simply Anna and Chris Bowden from Fenden who were leading the charge. And very disingenuously, Chris Bowden was, can I discuss this? And it was the monitoring officer and legal officer saying, no, you can't, because it's not in the report. And that's the problem. They are almost suggesting that there is a cover-up when that independent subcommittee of the audit committee that were elected to do the job of investigating it hired external investigators. We paid for barristers coming out of our ears on legal advice, and in any other organization we would have moved on. And for some peculiar reason within the combined authority, there are Conservative leaders of different constituent councils, two in particular, obviously we mentioned them, who are not prepared to let it go. And I think they should have done.
So what's the impact then of the announcement and the passage of this new travel plan going to be to ordinary people living in Cambridge and surrounding towns? Is it actually going to make any difference?
Well, up here in the Fens, it's definitely time we ditch the idea of opening the Wisbech to March railway line. I mean, I read recently in the last week the papers, the technicalities and the logistics of reopening that line. And, the figures that are being quoted are eyes watering. But so that's holding on to by its skin of the teeth to what's going on there. But what Dr. Nick wants to do is things like a ting transport, which is transport on demand, which is operating in Huntington, where you basically pick up a phone. Instead of booking the taxi, you book a bus to take you around the area. And that's all working really well. He's got a commitment to the buses. Very few people seem to be picking up the fact that we're going to pay a big increase in our mayoralty precept next year, which is going to subsidise a lot of these buses to carry on. what happened to that local transport plan is why we have got stuck in the mire a little bit, was that it has delayed bus franchising, which is going to be critical to unlocking, you know, new operators to come in who can see the potential of different routes or different areas or different markets and come in, and even with a limited amount of subsidy, can make them pay. At the moment, because Cambridgeshire is dealing with only two major operators, and Stagecoach, in terms of our bus operation businesses in Cambridge City in particular. So has the potential to unlock a lot of that. So the problem that you have in Cambridge, of course, is the Greater Cambridge Partnership, which is dithering and dallying over, you know, what they're going to mess around with next. And that's caused a lot of controversy in terms of, you know, where we go for the future. But it is interesting, though, and I think people listening to your show, I read an opinion poll today about the Mayor of London, and he lost, Labour lost a by-election because of the ULEZ scheme. And today, the Mayor of London, his poll rating is as high as it's ever been. And I think, you know, if the next year's elections and the ones the year after, which will be for the Combined Authority and everything else, continue to hanker towards a Labour, Lib Dem, Rainbow Alliance, whatever you like to call it, then somebody somewhere along the line is going to bite the bullet and deal with Cambridge. But it won't be until they are confident they've got a good 3 to 4 year clear run at it, which I don't think anybody feels confident enough to do that yet. So we've got all that to look forward to.
Thanks for coming on Cam's Politics as ever, John Elworthy. Bye-bye.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
Well, John's full of beans, isn't he, Phil? What an extraordinary time to be launching a new website, which he has. I can't remember a time in local politics where it's just been so fascinating. We think that Cambridge and South Cams can be interesting, but up there in Peterborough, Fenland and Huntingdon, he's got lots to report on.
Yes, there's certainly a lot going on, and Cambridgeshire politics never seems to be dull. But the combined authority meeting, the board meeting, was certainly particularly tense, at least in the debate around the report on the code of conduct complaints.
I was interested to hear John bigging up Anna Smith as the chair of that event.
Yes, obviously the mayor couldn't. He normally chairs the meetings, but he obviously couldn't chair that section. And yeah, I watched that too. I thought she did certainly do a good job in quite a tricky situation.
It's Cam's Politics for December. Phil Rogers is with me. I'm Trevor Dan. We'll talk to Mairead Healy. So that means we've got a real live Derry girl on the show after this. RIP, the exuberant Shane McGowan of the Pogues, whose death was announced this week. It's Cam's Politics on Cambridge 105 Radio, and continuing the Irish connection, let's check in now with Mairead Healy, who dramatically quit the Labour group on Cambridge City Council a few weeks ago in protest against Keir Starmer and his policy on Gaza. So let's find out how she feels about it now. Mairead Healy, welcome to Cam's Politics. Are you still glad to be an ex-Labour councillor?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very sad because our local Labour team are fantastic. You know, when I work really well with them. But actually, because of the national Labour policy, you know, I felt that was the decision I had to take.
What difference is it going to make, though, to that national policy? Or is it just something that you felt you had to do for the sake of your own conscience?
Yeah, so I mean, what we've seen happening out in Gaza is a systematic sort of brutality. And, you know, and it's not just me just saying that, you know, we've had 12 UN special rapporteurs, you've had the UN Secretary General, you know, saying that what's happening is a Mountain Day potential genocide. And I think for the National Labour position, they failed to call for a ceasefire and did not acknowledge, you know, what's been happening to those civilians in Gaza was something that I personally couldn't stomach. You know, I've worked for international human rights organizations like Amnesty International. You know, so for me personally, it was something that I felt I had to do in terms of a principle. And also actually my own experience growing up in the north of Ireland. I grew up in the 80s as a child, the 80s and 90s. You know, and I lived in an area, we were very poor, we had bombings happening all the time, and actually that was the height of the IRA's campaign in the mainland, you know, here in England. And actually it really has made me think about, you know, what if Western governments had decided then that they would retaliate and indiscriminately attack people like my working class communities, you know, that wouldn't happen because Israel has powerful friends like America. And that's why this has been able to go on for so long in Gaza, this oppression and the international community turning a blind eye to it. So for me personally, I couldn't stomach it. And, you know, I'm only one person, I'm only one councillor in Cambridge, but actually I felt that was important. And actually now more than 60 councillors have resigned all across the country. Most of them are Muslim, but this isn't a Muslim issue. You know, white people should also be standing in solidarity because this is a humanitarian issue and it's a human rights issue.
Now, this area that you've just been talking about where you grew up was, of course, the Bogside in Derry. There is, I feel, some kind of affection for the Palestinian cause among Irish people. Do you feel that yourself?
Oh, yes, yes, definitely. And you would have probably seen, you know, the Irish president came out in support of the Palestinian people. And last week, you know, there was a lot of Irish politicians as well have called for a ceasefire and for Israel to be reported to the International Criminal Court. But I think for me, you know, growing up, we did feel an affinity with the Palestinian people. We lived under oppression. You know, for me as a child, as a five-year-old, I had long rifles being pointed at me by the British Army when I was playing in the street. You know, so we really feel that sense of occupation. And so I think there is that, you know, affinity. And actually what we're really talking about is working class, innocent civilians. If you look at the population stats from the UN on Gaza, over 50% of the population are children, over 75% are food aid recipients, and over 95% of the water is undrinkable. These are essentially really poor, innocent civilians that are just trying to survive. And I think there's a lot of affinity with Catholics in the north of Ireland.
Can I put it to you that there are innocent civilians on the other side as well, and that there is a worry that by being pro-Palestinian, you become anti-Semitic?
Yeah, and that's been floated around. But I think what we're actually talking about here is decades of oppression. And, you know, I've been in all the marches every single week in London, and there's thousands and thousands of Jewish people that are on those demonstrations. And I think this narrative created in the national and Western media that it's sort of anti-Jewish is completely, you know, falsified. There's lots and lots of Jewish people who are standing in solidarity. And what we're actually talking about here is this is genocide. It's human rights violations. It's completely disproportionate to any attacks that happened by Hamas, which is a terror group, which is not the Palestinian people. You know, what we've seen is journalists killed, doctors killed, UN aid workers killed. We've seen thousands of children murdered in recent weeks. You know, and what's happening is civilians are being targeted. You know, UN schools, refugee camps, hospitals, a children's hospital. You know, that's not proportionate at all.
Let's bring this back to Cambridge, if we may, Mairead. What would you say to people who voted for you as a Labour councillor? Would you say to them now that they could easily say to you, well, you've let me down. I wanted you to represent me as a Labour councillor, but you've, you know, taken the decision not to do that. Shouldn't you be standing down and letting me elect somebody else?
Yeah, well, I think what I would say in response to that is since I did resign, I have had hundreds of emails from all across Cambridge and including from Bronzeville, and they've all been very supportive of my position and actually applauded me for taking that position. I haven't had any saying, you know, that they disagreed with me or that they thought I should stand down. So I think that's also really important because when I took that decision, I wasn't sure if I would stay on for the rest of my term because I've been elected for 4 years. And I wanted to see what the reaction would be. But actually, all the responses I've had have been very, very supportive. And I see myself in my role as really championing Romsey people and their issues. I'm a working class woman myself. I have a very strong understanding of structural inequalities and some of the issues affecting our city, the most unequal city in the UK. And I think it's really, really important that people like myself are still a voice in the council. And independent voices are also really important because we're not bound by the whip, we're not bound by a collective position. So I think that's also important in a city like Cambridge as well.
Somebody who still sits for Labour on the City Council said to me privately the other day, she'll be back. We need her back. She's really good.
Yes, and it's really sad. And I have to applaud my colleagues in Cambridge Labour. After I resigned, they signed a joint statement calling for a ceasefire, which is obviously against the national position. You know, and I have the strongest kind of admiration for my local colleagues. And many of them are really good friends of mine that I still socialise with now, even though I'm not part of the Labour Party. but that was something that was important for me personally to do.
Are you ruling out rejoining Labour before the next election?
I'm ruling out joining it whilst Keir Starmer is the leader, because I think his position is just really unconscionable. You know, I have said, I wrote a column in the paper last week in the Cambridge Independent that I wouldn't vote Labour in the national elections, because our MP, Daniel Zeichner, received thousands of emails about this issue and he ignored them and he voted against the ceasefire. And I think that's really important, because as our directly elected politicians, they really need to be our voice in Parliament. And if they're ignoring it, they're not doing that. I think what we expect of our politicians is that they act with humanity and courage and they do the right thing. And, you know, I was really disappointed to see that Daniel Zeichner, unlike other Labour MPs, didn't vote for the ceasefire. But I will still obviously vote Labour in the local elections, but not in the national elections, because I think this is a point of principle.
What is it you miss, if anything, about being in a formal group on the City Council? I mean, we talked on this programme, the previous episode last month, to Sam Davis, and she kind of allied herself with the Greens when she was there as an independent. When you don't have any support group around you, it must be quite a lonely world, and also an easy world to feel ineffective in.
Definitely it is, and I'm still really adjusting to that, you know, my new role. And what I do really miss is, you know, previously I was leading the communities portfolio in the council, and there were so many things I was really passionate about, our work around food justice, our work around young people, our community centres, our culture. You know, there were so many things I was working on. I was really spearheading the new youth strategy for the city, looking at how we can redevelop our community food hubs model. And, you know, I think that's something that as a working class woman, I feel really passionate about in terms of addressing inequalities. So I think that's something that's really difficult to adjust to that, because obviously you have that impact. But my successor, who's taken on the role, Rachel Wade, is absolutely fantastic. And I'm really delighted that she's been appointed as the new communities executive. But yeah, as for me, I'm adjusting to the role and really focusing on ward work as well, which is great. You know, being able to take on lots of casework in Romsey, because I think there's still a lot that we can do in Romsey as well.
So no regrets?
No.
Mairead Healy, thank you very much for joining us on Camps Politics. I'm sure we'll have you back.
Thank you.
Life as an ex-councillor with Mairead Healy. Phil, do you think she's missed by her former colleagues in the Labour group?
Oh, I think so. I mean, she was an executive councillor. She, I think, made a big impact on the group. And when you're a member of a political party, it's often a very social activity, and you know, a lot of your friends will be in the party as well. And it can be very difficult when people decide to quit a party from that point of view. But her term as a councillor runs for a good while yet, I think till 2017. So she may have quite a long stretch ahead of being independent. But that'll certainly give her more freedom of action than she would have otherwise.
You've been around Cambridge politics for a long time. Can you remember a similar occasion where a city councillor has resigned as a matter of principle because of the stand of their national party?
I think there have been one or two, but not for quite some time. And sometimes there's kind of other issues going on behind the scenes as well. But clearly, Mairead is very unhappy with the National Labour policy on Gaza and some other issues as well, I think. Maybe we'll see some more of that from other councillors as the war continues, but we'll have to wait and see.
I was interested in how strongly worded she was about Daniel Zeichner. Do you think this can be an issue that might derail him?
Well, on this, as on many other things, I think there's quite a spectrum of opinion within the Cambridge Labour Party. And I'm sure Daniel is getting a great deal of email about this issue. And of course, he did abstain on the vote calling for a ceasefire a while back in line with the Labour leadership. There were quite a number of Labour rebels that time, but he wasn't one of them.
Thank you, Phil. Let's have some music from ELO, and then we'll meet the new councillor for Queen Edith. On the water, I saw the ocean's daughter.
My whole world is gone from here. 'Cause I
ELO on CAMS Politics. Just time to squeeze in a chat with Cambridge's newest councillor, Immy Blackburn-Horgan. She's just replaced the independent Sam Davis for the Liberal Democrats in the Queen Edith's ward. And she's been telling me that so far, it's been a baptism of fire.
Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
So, Immy Blackburn-Horgan, thank you for including me in your list of firsts, which you sent. It says, first political interview with you.
Yes.
That's me. So thanks for coming on CAMS Politics and congratulations. How does it feel to be a city councillor?
Well, it's definitely been a really interesting experience. I had my first council meeting and I'm amazed the amount of work everyone puts in to try and improve this city. It's amazing.
And what made you want to be a councillor? I mean, it's not, a, if I may say so, a natural ambition for a young woman.
Well, being a community champion, cheered on by my family, new friends, neighbours and locals, I've been reaching out and trying to assist people and working for the community. I've helped set up a residents association and a neighbourhood watch as there were long-standing issues in my area. I moved into a very challenging environment and I've basically been trying to improve it. And my passion is to see that people renting feel they have equal rights to affordable quality accommodation with secure tenancies that allow them to question the standards of their home.
You've got some big shoes to fill, of course. Sam Davis, a very popular councillor and an independent. Have you spoken to her at all?
Yes. Sam was an inspirational community activist and councillor. No one can replace her. She worked with me every step of the way in my role as a Queen Edith Community Champion. And straight after being elected, she texted to congratulate me and wish me luck. She still has my back.
So what difference do you think it's going to make to the people of Queen Edith's that they've now got you as their councillor?
Well, I've been working to reduce antisocial behaviour. There's been suspicious antisocial and drug dealing, and people need to have the confidence to report and know where to report. I've had success in Nightingale Community Garden with my neighbourhood watch meeting with the police and council. I've been helping on illegal and dangerous parking. I created a film about the dangers of pavement parking with RNIB and Living Streets. And I've already had successes through setting up my own area skip day, green up and clean up events on cleaning up our streets. I've been trying to improve green spaces. The Children's Committee and I have built Hope's Friendship Garden and Ed's Orchard along with a tree for Anna, an NHS employee. Research shows approximately 39% of young people know about politics. Only 54% of 18 to 24-year-olds vote. Not hearing their views, with up to 75% renting, they need to be listened to as they are an important part of the local community.
Now, you work at Addenbrookes, I understand. How long have you been in Cambridge?
I've been in Cambridge for about 5 years, but I've been visiting for 15 years.
So where do you actually come from?
I lived in Hertfordshire. I grew up there. My family are Irish and I identify as dual nationality. I've been lucky. I've been able to travel all over the UK and the world. My family does house swaps, which was a cheaper way to travel to Europe and Tokyo. When I was doing a scientific project, I contacted 50 UK scientists, and the first to respond was Sir Colin Humphreys of Cambridge University, who became my mentor and was pivotal in helping me establish my scientific career.
Immy Blackburn-Horgan, thank you so much for joining us on CAMS Politics.
Thank you for having me.
I think she'd be the first to admit, Phil, that she's got a lot to learn. That's Immy Blackburn-Horgan, the new Lib Dem councillor for Queen Edith. It is, as I said, a big act to follow, Sam Davis, isn't it?
Yes, obviously Sam was very well known in Queen Edith and put an enormous amount of work in over the years. and, you know, did a tremendous job to get elected as an independent. But, you know, I think it is a very positive sign to have younger people joining the council. Imi's 24. In fact, her Labour opponent, Thomas Ron, was also in his 20s. And given that the average age of a councillor is 60 and 59% of them are male, she's perhaps a little out of the ordinary mould of councillor.
So what will we be talking about next time? And I have to say, Phil, this is going to be February because we don't normally do an edition of the show at the beginning of January. So can you have a quick look in your crystal ball and predict what might be on the agenda for February?
Well, a lot of what's going on around then is about budget setting for the coming year and how much the council tax is going to be and what's getting money and what's not getting money. And I suspect we may have a bit more information about the GCP's plans for road reclassification and whether they want to restrict car travel in any way, which obviously is going to be a bit of a controversial issue.
Well, have yourself a merry little Christmas, Phil.
And the same to you, Trevor.
See you in 2024.
Looking forward to it.